Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hi, I'm Masaba Gupta. Each week on How I Masaba from Luminary, I talk to one incredible woman about how they do, well, them. These are the inspirational mindsets, necessary daily practices, and only funny in hindsight experiences that have defined and continue to drive our culture's greatest. You know, in most industries, there's almost always a bit of a checklist that people wave around to say these are the things that you need to be successful. Conventional wisdom, as they say. Now, there's definitely a few of these floating around in fashion circles. Like when I started out, I remember everyone told me you need to do bridal, you need to do couture. I mean, bridal and couture are not the same thing, but in India they are. And everyone told me that this is what you need to do in order to be successful and in order to be famous. Just a basic printed outfit just won't cut it. But you know how many of those boxes I've ticked? Zero. Bollywood seems pretty similar to me. The same checklist for what it takes to be successful. You have to look a certain way, you have to have certain connections, you have to have certain training. You know what I mean? Well, my guest today is living proof that conventions can be broken. She's someone that tore up those checklists to become one of India's most prominent superstars, achieving incredible commercial success while still being recognized amongst the best actors around. She's also one of the first few actresses to take the sari international in its true conventional sense. Today, I'm talking to Vidya Balan.
I'm wearing Masaba today.
I was going to say, I thought it might be too much.
I've enjoyed wearing you, but I've also enjoyed your work as an actor. And I was so thrilled that you're now stepping into this role and that you've invited me. And I was more than happy to have a conversation with you. So thank you.
Thank you. It's a very, I was telling someone today that it's very tough to talk to somebody when you've been in the opposite chair. You know, I've always been interviewed. And I feel like it requires, one, a lot of focus on the little details of what the person is saying, how they're feeling, and just little things. And it's so hard because you have to really prep, you know. But I hope I'm well prepped for you. It's a really big moment for me. But I want to talk about your clothes. Let's start with that, since you said you're wearing my dress. But I feel like I have watched you evolve as a clothes horse in such an interesting way, in a very unconventional way, if I may use that word. But I feel like it's such a loosely used term. But what I want to ask you is that I feel like you are someone who just doesn't give a damn about a trend or about what people think you should wear or how you should be dressed. Is that someone that you've always been, or has it some? Is it something that you've evolved into?
Honestly, I think I've become that person. Because when I came into the industry, I knew nothing about nothing, honestly. The only thing I knew was that I wanted to be an actor, and I was being given these great opportunities and I was making the most of it. And I didn't realize that, you know, I've been someone with body image issues all my life. So I think I've always wanted to hide. I never wanted to be seen. I wanted to be invisible. I wanted to be a wallflower so that I wouldn't draw any attention to myself.
Correct.
And I think, which is why I probably, I think I was hiding behind clothes where I would want to wear clothes that were nondescript.
Yeah.
And that especially when I became an actor then, and suddenly, you know, it's quite a dichotomy, right? Mm. Because I want to be invisible, but I am an actor.
Yeah, your job is to be seen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I was okay being seen as a character on screen. Mm. But when people began to recognize me off screen, it was too much for me. I think I was scared. I think a lot of times I wouldn't, you know, of course, this is in hindsight that I'm able to, you know, that I'm able to sit and have this conversation with you. But I would be like, I literally wanted to be a jhalli so that no one would notice me.
Wow.
Because it was almost like, you know, on screen, many people are putting their best foot forward to make you look your best.
Yeah.
You know, someone's giving you great clothes, someone's doing your makeup, someone's doing your hair, it's the lighting. Mm. It's the love the director pours into you.
Correct.
You know, as a character that helps you blossom. So all of that. And then, but off screen, I was like, shit.
Hmm.
I had the fear of being found out, I think. And therefore, I wanted to be, you know, I'll share this incident. Parinita had just released.
Yeah.
And I'd gone to Calcutta. Whenever I go to Calcutta, I visit Kali Ghat, the Kali temple. And I was there and suddenly I could hear flash bulbs. My eyes were shut. I was praying. I could hear flash bulbs. And then they started saying, you know, Bitta, Bitta. Huh. Ekhane dekho. You know, dekho. Huh. As in just look here. And I was like, my heart stopped. I came back home.
Yeah.
When I came back to Bombay, I remember having, it was 20 days after the release and actually the phone hadn't stopped ringing. Hmm. People from all over the world were getting in touch with me and my family. And I was doing interviews, which I wasn't used to. You know, I was doing interviews, even the morning shows and all of that. And then I was doing events up to the night. And this was happening. I was getting clicked everywhere. And I think I just came back home and I started crying. I told my sister, I don't know whether this is what I signed up for.
Wow.
And she said, are you mad? You've only spoken of, you know, wanting to be an actor all your life. I said, but I don't know if I'm okay with this invasion of privacy. Mm. I think because for someone who's always felt judged, always felt like her body is being judged and she is the body.
Correct.
I think most of us mistake that, right? Yeah. It's only later in life that you realize you're not
everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think I had such a meltdown and she just said, you know, this is what you've always wanted. You'll find a balance. You'll find a way to, You know, you'll strike a balance.
Correct.
I don't know how, because I myself, you know, it's not like she's from the business or anything. Mm-hmm. But I think she was consoling me. But I think it took me a few years, Masaba. So I think a lot of times I didn't give clothes any attention. I was like, and now in hindsight, I can see how I was. There were times when I was decidedly, it was almost like when you're driving, you can see a truck coming in your direction.
Yes.
And you still want to take the turn thinking just that before. You might make it in the nick of time. So it was like that. I paid no attention to my appearance whatsoever because I actually loathed myself. Initially, of course, everyone was in love with me and I thought that, wow, you know, at least on screen, it's all great. And then suddenly, after about 2-3 years, when people started saying around the time I did two of these typically commercial films and I stood out like a sore thumb and people started saying, oh my God, she's, you know, this is not working and the films worked, but she's not working. And suddenly
doesn't
I was
fit
like,
the bill. And
And she's overweight and she's so badly dressed and I remember getting the worst dressed award at a film award function. And I think I hit my lowest then. You know, I was so scared to step out of the house. And there were actually people. There was no trolling those days because there was no social media. Wasn't
you were
big.
Lucky there.
Yeah. But in the newspapers, people were taking jibes at me. Like they would be talking about anything and suddenly they'd bring me in my dress sense. And suddenly, or maybe because I was so sensitive to it, it became very big in my head. You know, I lost my confidence. I just didn't want to step out of the house. I remember there was a time when I came back from Canada after the shoot of Kismat Connection, when I'd actually just lay in bed not wanting to get up, not wanting to do anything. And then I remember I'm very close to my family.
Yeah.
And I would speak a lot to my parents and to my sister and brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying various things to me and all that. And I would speak to a few close friends. But finally, at the end of it, my mom said, you know, what is it? If it's weight, you can just shed it. And you can work hard to do it. Maybe you've not done the right thing. Maybe you get a nutritionist. Maybe you get the right kind of training and you'll be able to do that. And my sister said, if it's about clothes, you know, what do you have designers for?
Yeah.
So go to the right people who know how to dress you well. And my brother-in-law told me, he said, tell me honestly, what did you come here for? I said, to be an actor. He said, so you focus on that. Let the others do
their job. Yeah.
I was so muddled, you know, but slowly, in the middle of all that, I think slowly there began to emerge some kind of clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to say, okay, I began to shed weight. I began to feel better. You know, I began to wear what I liked because around that time I met Sabyasachi Mukherjee, who, you know, even though today we are not on talking terms for, and it has been like that for a long time, I will always credit him with the fact that he said, you know, you don't have to wear anything that you don't want to be wearing.
Yeah.
And if you like wearing the sari, then you should just do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, but you know, the few times that I've wore a sari, people said, you're dressing older. He said, you know, just...
Bollocks. I remember that time very clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I started wearing the sari.
Yes.
Because I was a woman. Yeah. I was not, and I've never been a little girl. You know, I'm probably more girly now than I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
But to the extent that I can be girly. But I started wearing the sari again and I felt so good about myself. So I think slowly, one step at a time, I began to love and accept myself. But it's been a long and arduous journey. And there have been, even after that, there have been like massive ups and downs.
Mm.
But I think now I'm more settled. Mm. Now, there are days when I feel bigger than I am.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, that's how I'm feeling today.
Women are different body. Like my body is different every morning when I wake up.
Right,
because I have a hormone thing or something or whatever.
Yeah,
it's not one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and that each one's body is different.
Correct.
No? So I've had a history of hormonal issues, I think because of the self-loathing largely.
Yeah.
And today I'm in a much better place. So I feel better. So I feel like I'm looking better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happier, you know. I think I've managed to silence the inner critic to a large extent.
But tell me, do you think a very interesting thing happened with me once? I went to a healer.
Mm.
I was just going through a tough time and I felt like I needed to talk to someone. When the talking didn't help, I went to somebody who believed that all your emotions are stored in your body, in various parts of your body, as knots and pains and aches. And she said that you store everything, all the trauma in your hips.
Oh.
And apparently women store all their trauma and unresolved trauma rather in their hips. But tell me, now that you're happy and in hindsight you see who you were and what it did to you, I want you to tell a young girl who's probably not the conventional size and there is no hindsight for her yet.
Yeah.
She's a living, breathing person now.
Yeah.
She's young. She's wanting to be successful. She wants a happy marriage, relationship, partnership, whatever. What would you tell her? How do you give real advice to somebody who's young and a little bigger? And somebody who's not the conventional body type, as they say, what would you tell her today?
One, that, you know, all five fingers are not the same. So why do we expect everyone's bodies to be the same?
Yeah.
You know, but every finger has its own beauty because it has its own purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't function without...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they all together mean something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think you have to just... you have to realize that you are unique.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason we are called individuals.
Yes.
And how can there be a best in the world of individuals?
Mm.
That for me, you can't compare any two people. So if you can't compare any two people, you're not going to be lesser or more than anyone else because of your body size or, you know, I think, so to just realize that, you know, you can be whoever you want to be in the size that you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I did, when I did the dirty picture, my bigness was glorified.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and people said that, oh my God, you've never looked sexier. And I said, wow, that liberated me greatly, Masaba.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
you know, to be told that, oh my God, I thought when the tire showed that people are going to say,
gross.
Yeah. Gross.
Yeah.
People didn't say that. Because it was a brazenness. And, you know, you see the Romanesque paintings.
Yes.
You see full-bodied women and they, I think there's so much beauty to them. Mm-hmm. And I honestly, so I just want to say that you are an individual and just be who you are. And there is beauty and there is sensuality and there is, you know, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Within that.
Yeah.
You have
and
to just discover
coexist.
It. Yeah, exactly. Mm. There's not one kind of beautiful woman or intelligent woman or smart woman.
You know, I've also discovered that as a woman, even with what you do with acting, is it tough to sometimes just have difficult conversations about money? I feel like women don't want to have that conversation.
Yeah.
You know, I, for example, sometimes I feel like I'm not getting paid what I deserve. And only I know what I deserve, right? Nobody else knows it.
Yeah.
But until I put it on the table and say, hey, this is what I think I deserve, you're not going to offer it to me. Mm. How do you toe that line between being called arrogant when that difficult conversation about money comes up?
Firstly, I think in our profession, it's amazing that we have someone doing the money talk for us.
Yes.
Because the 6 degrees of separation is very, very, those 6 degrees of separation are very crucial. But having said that, initially I would be, you know, I didn't want anyone to think that I was working for money, that I wanted everyone to feel that, you know, almost there was this holier than thou thing that, okay, this is not, my survival doesn't depend on it.
Yes.
And that, so please know that. So, you know, I'm doing it out of passion.
Mm-hmm.
It was also so that, you know, I don't put myself in a compromising position because I don't come from a film family. So I wanted people to know that, listen, my bread and butter doesn't depend on this.
Correct.
So sometimes I would settle for less because of that. So that, you know, it was almost like a, you're giving people the impression that, you know,
I'm easy.
It doesn't matter, you know, because mere liye to kaam zaruri hai.
Correct.
It's the kind of roles that,
correct.
I didn't realize that money is, money equals value.
Mm-hmm.
And that until you value yourself, the world is not going to value you. You know, my mother-in-law had told me this amazing story about a tailor who would visit this family and do little odd jobs or whatever.
Yeah.
And he used to charge pittance.
Mm-hmm.
So the family would make him wait for hours. They would not even ask him for chai. And, you know, kabhi pooch liya to pooch liya. And then there was another tailor who began to visit them who was being given, you know, he came from a similar background.
Yeah.
But he charged more
and
he would be called inside the house.
Okay.
And he would be given tea and all of that only because he charged more.
Wow. So they had more respect for him.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, slowly over the years, of course, it's also where once I began to accept my body, I think a lot of that had to do with acceptance of my body. You know, I began to value myself more because I thought that, oh, you know, just because I'm a certain body type, it doesn't make me unworthy.
Yeah.
And so when I began to accept my body, I think I began to feel more worthy. I began to value myself more. I began to demand more, demand my price, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I began to earn much better.
Mm-hmm.
And today I will not compromise on that. Today I'm not shy of saying, listen, I love money and I want to make potloads of money.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're not going to be able to pay me what I think I should get paid, then let's not work together.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not doing it. Of course, I'm doing it for the joy of it, but no, I'm not here to do charity.
Yeah, and I think what happens is it should be an easy conversation to have. It should never be a hard conversation. And I mean, but with you, what's happened is you've also worked across so many different, you've done Telugu, Kannada films, you've done so many things. How are all of these industries so different? Today, we're seeing a huge sort of, it's a wave of South Indian cinema. I won't say taking over, I would say joining hands in a way with Bollywood. But what do you think they're doing differently? Or better? that you see this huge wave?
That's very difficult to say. I think that's a conversation we're having everywhere, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to figure what the hell is going
what
on.
What did they crack?
Yeah, and honestly, I have to say that with complete respect for the kind of films that are doing well, I'm not the biggest fan of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not my kind of cinema.
Okay.
But I am, not all of them. Mm-hmm. I'm saying some of them have done crazy numbers. I've enjoyed some of them, which have done very well also. I've done a special appearance in a Tamil film and a Malayalam film. And I've done a Telugu film. And I feel that they're far more disciplined about their work. I think that for sure. Though I will say that in the kind of films that I do, there's a lot of discipline because we can't afford not to be because they're made on, you know, smaller budgets. They're medium-sized films.
Yeah.
And therefore, there is a certain rigor with which you work, which probably the big size, I'm imagining. I've never been on a mega film in Hindi.
Right.
So I don't know how it works, but I think there is a, it's probably that. It's probably, and I think we're going through a phase and of course, when, you know, so many things are not working, we, you know, we are asking ourselves questions and all that. And we will chance upon answers, but I think it's about being authentic.
Yeah.
They are being authentic to who they are.
Correct.
What is really authentically a Hindi film? Do we know that
we
anymore?
Don't know. Yeah, we can't define it.
Yeah, exactly. And not to say that therefore we must make formulaic films or a certain kind of film. It has become, you know, I think in that sense we are genre agnostic today, which is fantastic. But I think there's some missing link. I think it is in its authenticity.
Not standing for anything.
Yeah, I think so.
But standing for everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think you have to be true to the story. You have to, which is why some films will still, for example, you know, there have been a couple of films this year which have still gone on to do well. I think early in the year you had Bhool Bhulaiya, you had Gangubai, which did great business. What was it about those films? You know, they were unapologetically
India.
Yeah, they were India and they were, they told the story with complete conviction. Whereas I think a lot of other times people are grappling between, oh, should we make a masala film or should we make an evolved film to relate to a wider audience, a universal audience and all of that. And I think all those should be, of course, I'm no expert, but this is my understanding of it, you know,
You've also been, very interestingly, you haven't learned how to act. I don't know, I find that very weird, but you haven't
trained as an actor.
How does it work? And I also say this from when I did Masaba for the first time and I was
And
like,
you were fantastic
in
it.
Thank you. Okay, you were the first person who called me, by
the
way.
Oh, really?
Yes, from the industry. The first person, and I was so happy. I said, Mom, this is my highlight of the year. Because if she thinks I've done a good job, I've done a half decent job.
No, and I'm sure after that, loads of people have called you.
Your husband, which was even better. So it was like, okay, stamp of approval is done. But tell me, I always believe that, well, not always, but since I have been doing a little bit of acting now, I think that as an actor, you have to always leave a little door open for some spontaneity.
Yeah, yeah.
And also know the craft and study the craft enough to know what to do in certain moments. But what do you think works better? Do you think it's worked in your advantage that you haven't learned or studied acting?
You know, I think there are lots of times when I wonder if it would have been easier if I was a trained actor.
Okay.
Because I don't know how to approach a scene. You know, there's no set way of approaching a scene. So what I do is I read the script. If I connect with the character and the overall story and I like the director and the producer and everyone, then I say yes to it. Then I spend a lot of time with the director.
Okay.
Not with the writer, unless the writer and director are the same person.
The same.
Because I need to know the director's vision. His or her eyes on the story.
Right.
You know, because that's what we're going to create on screen. But I think So I like to be very prepared. I ask lots of questions. I'm sure a lot of them are even irrelevant and stupid. But I ask questions unabashedly for that 1 month before the film.
That's a lot of prep though.
Yeah, but you know, I think because I need to know the world, I need to know the person, literally the innards of the person.
Yeah, yeah.
And because I don't, you know, I'm not like programmed to read things a certain way and to go from point A to point B.
Correct.
So I need to understand the person's, you know, where the person comes from, what the person is going through, what are the family dynamics, create a backstory if maybe, all of that. You know, what is a person's favorite perfume or what food does a person like to eat or, you know, what music, all of that. Just to have an image, a mental, even emotional image of the person. That's what I've done all my life.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I do think that I put in that kind of preparation so that then I'm also acquire skills that are required for any a particular role. So that I'm not focused on all those things. So that on set, I'm not asking the director, you know, no, but why is she saying it like this? Or why is she, you know, I want to address all of that so that there is room for spontaneity on set.
It's absorbed and then you go on to set. And
because I think the preparation is, that's the only way, you know, I've worked and that's the only way I know. I feel better when I'm prepared and then on set to just go and let, because there are so many variables on a set, you know.
Yes.
Allow for the magic to happen. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. But at least you should be, I shouldn't be like learning my lines or saying or saying that, achha, abhi to isme, to mujhe tanpura play karna hai, mujhe aati nahi hai. So then I'm only focused on, I can't do that, you know.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound. And you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
But, you know, where do you borrow? What happens when you don't connect with a character? Do you borrow from people you know? Where do you borrow your inspiration from?
Yeah, I think from life, Masaba, because, you know, it's from something I've read, heard, watched, music I've listened to, interactions I've had with people. Because as an actor, you're playing out so many situations and circumstances that you may not have been through. Or you don't have any experience of, even like a secondhand experience of. Yeah. So, you know, you have to. I learned this lesson very early on in my advertising days when I was doing television commercials. I worked with Namita and Shubhir, who owned this production house, White Light Films. And they made wonderful, they make wonderful ad films. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that you invariably remember. You know, and I was on a shoot with them and there was a shot where I had to, it was a bike ad. Mm-hmm. Basically, I was playing the wife of an army man who's coming back home on this bike for his chutti. Mm-hmm. And the son and I are very excited. And then, you know, I'm lighting a diya just before he comes in. So I was lighting the diya and I was just like lighting the diya. Hmm. And I remember Shubhir telling me, he said, you know, there has to be anticipation in you, which I should be able to see in that lighting of the diya. And I thought, what is he even saying? Yeah. How can that be possible? You know, how is my eye going?
Yeah.
But what I've realized over time, that ad film changed my approach to acting.
Mm.
Previously, I thought it was about, you know, looking pretty and expressions and all of
angles
that.
Angles.
Yeah, yeah. And then I started realizing that it's about feeling.
Mm.
If you feel it, it will show.
Yeah.
There's no chance it won't show.
Yeah.
So even in the lighting of the diya, if you feel that anticipation,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not like your hand has to tremble with excitement.
Yeah.
But it will communicate.
Wow. Because you see the smaller things.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
The screen is always catching
of course you need
stuff.
You need a good director to catch that.
Yeah.
You know, to have the shot of that diya, your hand lighting the diya. That is also why film is a director's medium. But so you can do it, but if there's no one to watch it, then there's no point. Doesn't add up, you know. But yes, I think I realize that it's all about feeling.
Yeah.
However you get to that feeling.
Yeah. Everyone has their own unique
path.
You've also spoken often, Vidya, about the process, you know, just process over outcomes, you know. And I'm somebody who believes in that in a big way, you know. Kaam karo, phal ki ichha mat karo.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But how does it work? You know, even the Indian cricket team talks very famously about how they just do the training and the job and the whatever prep work is required. And then you see what happens when you're playing that game. But how do you distance yourself effectively from the outcome of things? Because sometimes it can be hard, especially in today's day and age where instant gratification is everything.
Yeah.
You know, I do it sometimes. I make a sari, I design something just because I'm like, marketing.
Yeah, yeah.
I want
it
now, you know. I want it to go viral in the next 12 hours. How do you distance yourself in the profession that you are in?
I think that's also something that I've learned to do over the years because I don't have a... I'm not thick-skinned.
Wow.
So, you know, things...
Not yet.
No, but you know, I've learned, therefore, to distance myself from the outcome. You know, I work with a healer. For the past 11 years, I've been working with a healer.
Okay.
And that has given me perspective on a lot of things.
Hmm.
And I've realized that it's really the only thing you can do is do.
Yes.
You know, but...
Show up, as they say.
Yeah, show up and that's half the battle won.
Correct.
You know, so you show up, you do what you have to do. And really, the outcome of a film is not in our hands.
Hmm.
Right? I can put my best foot forward and I can hope for the best and I can even pray for it. But finally, you know, what happens is not in my control. So I keep hoping, you know, my constant endeavor is to be able to accept what happens.
Yeah.
I think, and I have come a long way in that. So I feel like, you know, you spoke about Instagram, you spoke about films, whatever it is, I've reached a stage. But I've worked at it. I've worked at it very consciously to say that, you know, this does not define me.
Mm.
What defines me is what I put into it. But the outcome of it does not define me.
Mm.
It does not, when you get appreciated, when something does well, you feel great about it. But when it doesn't, there is, you know, a higher purpose or there is your higher good.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's at play. So, you know, you have to respect that. But these are things that I've understood over time.
Over time. But, you know, when I see you and I see all the roles that you've done, I'm like, nobody else could have done this.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah, like literally, nobody else. I can't imagine, oh, this one would have done it this way. Forget better, but this one would have done it differently.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
I feel like you've carved a niche for yourself. There are actresses and then there's you. Is it something you actively built or is it just something that happened?
It's something that happened because, you know, going back to what we spoke about, it's realizing that this is who I am. This is what I want. This is how I want to be. And therefore, just being.
Hmm.
You know, I can't do certain things. And I don't try to do them. Like you spoke about going to parties. I don't like to go to parties.
Yeah.
Previously, I would, you know, make the effort. Now, once in a while, no, it was like, more like I didn't know how to say, you know, I don't enjoy parties. But with Siddharth, if I'm going with Siddharth, I'm still fine, you know, because I...
Correct.
But I'm still wanting to enter from one door and exit through another. But nowadays, I've started telling people the truth and saying, you know, listen, let's meet on a one-on-one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'd rather that than meet in a party where the music is loud and I can't hear you. And honestly, I don't enjoy dancing. So what am I? And I don't drink. So then what are you?
Yeah. So what are you there for?
Yeah. So I think it's just about, there's no strategy, or I've never like thought of myself as, oh, acha, ab mujhe aisa karna chahiye ya ye karna chahiye. No, I'm just going with the flow.
Yeah. No, that's great. I feel like, but I think that's also, again, in hindsight, right? You're like, I didn't need to go to that party. And everyone would tell me, you know, where you go, you network. That's how you get the next opportunity.
Yeah, people would tell me that.
Like, no work is happening at parties.
Really?
Work is happening where work happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I keep telling people now, you know, when young actors ask me, is it important to network? And, you know, I'm like, network? No one gives you work because they saw you at a party. No, really. That's the other thing. A lot of actors ask me, you know, and also now they say, you know, they say that your Instagram following should be substantial only. Then that is absolutely sad. But I do think that despite that, if you're good, no Instagram following, no nothing can stand in the way of you.
Yeah.
If you're good and if you keep at it, you know, if there is self-belief and belief in your dreams, I think you'll just get there.
Get there, yeah.
Got this, you know.
I want to talk about your family because you mentioned you're very close to them. I've always had this belief when I've seen actors from afar. I think the ones who are the most sort of solid as human beings, they have a great support system in their families.
Yeah.
It's like going back home to peace, to stability, and to sometimes one thappad if you're badly behaved. I want to ask you, in an industry that largely feeds on insecurity, how did just having your mom and your sister and everybody around you, how does it help? I know it's a very superficial sort of question. You may have been asked this before, but I want to dive into it very deeply to understand what it really does to somebody who lives a very public life. But when you come home, you're just Vidya and that's it.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's absolutely great because especially, I think I it's my family, of course, but it's also being a South Indian. Okay. For South Indians, I think because I've met a lot of South Indian actors also, who I feel treated as a job.
How interesting.
Yeah. You know, so it's great that you're doing this and it's great you're shining and we're proud of you, but it's a job. Huh. And your job is done and you come back home. At home, you're a whatever. You're Vidya, you're a daughter,
person.
Sister,
aunt,
wife, daughter-in-law, whatever it is.
Mm.
You know, so I think I've always had that grounding and that's very important. So I think I've never... There's never been any sort of feeling that, oh, I'm doing something great or out of this world or extraordinary. I take great pride in what I do. I love what I do.
Mm.
I feel blessed every day that I'm able to do this because this was my only dream.
Yeah.
But having said that, when I go back home, I go back home from work.
Mm. It's not your life.
It's not my life. It's a big part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it defines the way I live. But I still define my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the only thing in my life. And having said that, because of this attitude also, I, for the longest time, if someone called me a star or said I'm a fan, I would like be like, no.
Uncomfortable.
You know,
almost.
Are you sure you're talking about me? Because I didn't feel like one. Yeah. You know, even now, I'm not absolutely comfortable with it.
Wow.
Yeah. It's taken me a long time and I'm better for sure.
Yeah.
But it's not something when someone, I find it damn difficult to say, oh, you know, love to my fans and all that. I feel like, but at least I'm able to say it today.
Today, yeah. So you've worked your way.
Yeah, yeah.
And you, I think you've truly, you deserve it.
Thank you.
In some sense. But the last thing about work, you have obviously made very, very, not smart, I would say very informed choices on the characters that you choose to portray. How do you put yourself in that position and say, okay, now this is something that I can do? Is this, do you ever, you know, toy with the idea that is this a commercial success? Or maybe this is going to be something that will get me eyeballs. This is going to be something that gets me, you know, recognition for the performance or for just morphing yourself into a different person, different character. How do you pick your script? How do you tell a good script from a bad one?
No, good script from a bad one, I still don't know, Masaba. But I think I always go by whether it calls out to me.
Okay.
You know, one, as an audience, is it something I'd like to watch in the theater?
Yeah.
And then do I want to do it as an actor?
Hmm.
And then who are the people involved? That's very important for me.
Yeah, producers, writers, directors.
Yeah. Director, producer. Yeah, these, I think it's writers, they're all very, very crucial in the overall process. Because, you know, and today I've, you know, maybe also because I'm married to a producer, I have that much more respect for the fact that if you don't have the right producer backing your film, it's not going to be done justice to.
It'll ruin everything.
Yeah. So I think all these things are very important, but primarily it has to call out to me.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, if it calls out to me, I'll be able to do it with conviction.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, then it doesn't matter, even if it's a perfectly written script.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a lot of times I've turned down offers that I felt like, oh my God, this script is so well written.
Mm.
Or, oh, I want to work with this director. But it's not called out to me. And I only go by that. Again, it's all, I think in 2008 onwards, I began to listen to my inner voice.
Okay.
You know, my gut.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, see, I don't know what's going to work, what's not going to work. For example, I keep talking about Kismat Connection and Hey Baby, which were very big successes.
Correct.
But I stuck out like a sore thumb in both films.
Mm.
So I really think that it doesn't matter.
You seem more and more like somebody who's just not interested in the bullshit of the business. Right?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't mind saying that today.
Yeah, I'm sensing that. I just sense that you're like, you know what? It's okay. I'm not thick-skinned. It's fine. I'm good at my job. I think you're a product of just pure talent and hard work.
Thank you. I love what I do, Masaba. I love what I do.
It shows. I'm going to do a quick round.
Yeah.
Like a rapid round.
Yeah.
Okay? To end this wonderful conversation. Yeah. What is the most real piece of advice someone has given you? By real, I mean, you know how people sometimes just give you advice for the sake of it? This is my learning, by the way. My friend once told me, he said, don't take advice from anyone who doesn't have the same appetite for survival as you do.
Oh, wow. How lovely.
I have written this in my diary and I keep it there because sometimes you talk to somebody and, you know, you're like someone who's, okay, you know, I married for the ring. Mm-hmm. I married for the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, should I marry for love? Mm. Of course that person's going to say no.
Yeah.
But what is the most real, effective piece of advice someone has given you that's changed your life?
That exactly what you said.
Yeah.
No? But in another, worded differently, which said that, you know, if everyone had the answers, and we were talking in the context of, you know, people telling me what kind of roles to do, how I should look, how I should dress. This was all around 2007-8. So this person told me that if everyone knew everything and if they knew the recipe for success, why is there only one Amitabh Bachchan?
Yeah.
Phir to sabko hona chahiye.
Yeah.
And I said, oh my God, yeah. And even those people who were telling me were, and, you know, with due respect, nowhere close to, not even near the A of Amitabh Bachchan.
Advice is free and very easy to give.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, across a career that's, of course, spanned across so many formats, you've done TV, film, across languages. What would you count as your biggest mistakes?
Nothing.
That is such a strong answer.
Nothing whatsoever. I don't regret a single day of my career. Forget my life.
Hmm.
Or rather, I should have said it the other way. I don't regret a single moment of my life. Forget my career. There's nothing. I feel that everything
added up.
Yeah, and exactly.
Yeah.
And everything had happened for a reason. And everything's played a role in who I am today and where I am today and how I am today. So I won't change a single thing.
Wow. I think I should get to that point very soon. Try.
Yes to that.
What is your go-to film? Something that you can watch over and over again? Like the film version of comfort food?
Ah, you know, there are a few films. There's the old Golmaal that I absolutely love. Mm-hmm. You're from another generation, so I don't know if you watched it. But Amol Palekar,
okay.
Utpal Dutt, Bindiya Goswami. Oh,
yeah, I've seen it. And lastly, one, you obviously have made it to the top. You don't have anything left to prove as such. One, what drives you? Secondly, who is Vidya Balan or who will she be when the lights completely go out? When you're no longer a public person at all?
But the lights will go off in a certain area of my life.
Hmm.
Not on my life.
Hmm.
You know, so there'll still be a life to be
lived.
Lived, absolutely.
Yeah. Like so, you said, it's the job.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't worry about, you know, I'm sure I can't imagine that at this point. Hmm. I don't even want to because I love what I do. But I'm sure that, you know, if that had to happen, then I'd make my peace around it. Maybe there'll be other things to do in life. Who knows?
Hmm. I was talking to Sania Mirza earlier before the podcast, and she was telling me, because we were talking about her retirement as well, and she's played tennis, and she's young. She's 36. And I said, what are you going to do in the next phase of your life? And she said, you know, I'll evolve.
Mm.
There are more important things. Yeah. Serena Williams, for example, she said she will evolve into a different person, into a new role, things that are possibly more important or as important.
So, and you know, because we don't have, like there is no precedent for me in my own life, I mean, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. But when I reach that stage, like you said, you know, we'll all evolve.
Yeah.
Into the stage that, and I just hope that there is happy acceptance, you know, because there is really, that is life.
Yeah. Yeah. It keeps moving.
Yeah. And movement is life.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Vidya. I like to do this quick takeaway, my learnings from my guest at the end of every episode. And I feel like there's far too many to list down, but I'll start with what you said last. Movement is life. Biggest takeaway, especially for women who think that their life is ending every time there's a baby or the marriage ended or, you know, you got married. You feel like things are always ending, but they're actually always beginning.
Yeah.
And an actress in a cutthroat industry who isn't thick-skinned and isn't afraid to say anything like it is. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I've enjoyed chatting with you.
Same here. I could go on for another 2 hours, but I'll be killed by the day. In the next episode of How I'm a Saba, I am speaking to the international music sensation and sitar maestro, Anushka Shankar. Tune in next week.
You were listening to How I'm a Saba only on Luminary. The podcast is produced by Monisha Singhatyal and Rainshine Entertainment. Ritika Bajaj is our creative producer and Palash Kulkarni is our executive producer. The research for this episode was done by Anushka Mukherjee. The mix engineer for this episode is Ankit Thakur. Artist management by Versus Entertainment LLP. The music supervisor for the episode is Ankur Srivastav. The episode was recorded at Island City Studios, Mumbai.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.